world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I press on for high calling. I don't know what that one thing I do is. I'm just overwhelmed, really, just overwhelmed this morning with the things that... chaos is breaking out all around us. We all know that, don't we? Chaos is really, really breaking out all around us. You don't know who to trust. You see two sides of the same coin. These guys are good. These guys are bad. Don't believe this guy. Don't believe that guy. This guy doesn't meet the agenda, yada, 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 yada. You know what I'm talking about, right? And I've been saying for quite a while that we are in what I would call the crucible. In other words, we are in a really, really, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And it's manifesting itself in the natural realm, although the battle that we're fighting is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. We're right in the middle of it. And here's a question I want to ask all of you out there today. Whoever's going to see this video or is in here in the after, whatever, I want to ask yourself this one question. If you got a phone call today, or if let's say that you're watching TV or whatever you're watching, all of a sudden, boom, there is somebody on our TV screen. Or let's say an appearance in the sky of, I don't know, Jesus Christ or something. And that person that appeared in the sky said to us, folks, Americans, Christians, whatever you want to call yourself, I'm telling you right now, you have 10 days left. What would you do? Because I got to tell you something. From my standpoint here, the guy sits in this multi-million-dollar studio down here. I'm so sick of end times talk. I'm so sick of it. Because I'm going to tell you this. For most people, end times talk is nothing more than an excuse not to do a damn thing. Not to do a damn thing. You know right where you live right now. I don't know about you guys. I already checked the forecast this morning, and the forecast told me what's coming this afternoon. And as soon as I heard what was coming this afternoon, I began to, in my head, think, okay, have I battened this down? Have I battened this? Have I locked this down? Have I covered this? I got the windows shut, right? Because why? I see it's coming. It's going to be here. The radar shows me. And yet the world is full of end time prognosticators, and ain't nobody got it saying a damn thing about what to do. Somebody give me an amen. I just got to know I've got just one friend out. Just one thing.
Amen.
And you go to church, we love these prophecy teachers, and this sign's lining up with that sign, and oh my God, Jesus is coming back, and here's why he's going to come back, and he's coming back to Israel, and put that down there, and they're going to build a new temple, and we sit home and twiddle our damn thumbs. If you got a call today, 10 days till the end of the world, what would you do? You know, we got Christians every day who get up and say, it's coming, man, it's coming, it's coming, and they don't do a damn thing. Frustrates me, greatly frustrates me. And it's, here's the problem. From my perspective, bear with me here a second. I'm really feeling it here this morning. Why won't we get engaged? If the guy standing in the pulpit really believes the hogwash, I'm sorry, the stuff that he's sharing with the people, why would he not, if he believed that Jesus Christ could split the sky tomorrow, 10 days, and he gets a download from the Lord, says it's 10 days from now, would he be worried about tithes and offerings? What would he be preaching? Or how about this? Would he even be in the damn pulpit? Or would he be out in the streets trying to compel everybody to come to Christ? So here's what I'm saying. Our belief don't match our actions, baby. Or our actions certainly don't match our belief. I'm going to play something right now. It's going to piss some of you off. I don't care. Because it's paralyzing. It's paralyzing. Let me stop a minute. Let me stop. Somebody tell me right now. If you got a download and you knew it was from the Lord, if Jesus Christ himself appeared in your bedroom tonight through the Holy Spirit and sat you up and said, hey, Betty, you got 10 days. Hey, Gino, you got 10 days. Hey, RL, you got 10 days. Peter, hey, Peter, you got 10 days. Kimberly, 10 days. Hey, Don, you got 10 days. Christy, you got 10 days. This whole thing's coming down in 10 days. I'm going to pause a little bit and want you to tell me what you would do. Somebody come in and tell me what you'd do.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly what I do. I'd look at my schedule and I tell them what I would be doing for the next 10 days because it wouldn't change. And that should be our answer. And if it's not, then we are a far cry from the righteousness of which we've been called.
David, we're a fraud. We are a fraud.
Amen.
We're a fraud. Folks, end time theology has done nothing but paralyze you. And I'm not here to argue about the rapture or the second coming of Jesus. I'm not here to argue about any of that stuff. If you believe that stuff, how can you sit on your ass? If we were having a blizzard, it's March, so we probably won't have a blizzard. But if we were having a blizzard, or I just saw maybe big hailstones tonight, am I going to leave my car parked out in the yard? Or am I going to pull it in the garage? Am I going to go out and what am I going to do if the weather forecast tells me, dude, big storm coming? I'm going to do something, aren't I? I'm going to batten down the hatches or whatever. I'm going to do something. And yet we get these prophecy people tell us it's the end times and they don't get off their ass. Somebody tell me, come on, what would you do if you got a download from the Lord? You got 10 days. Somebody tell me what you would do. Would you do?
I would keep living like David says, but I would be getting out there. I would spend 24 hours a day on the streets trying to understand God's kingdom.
Good answer, Betty. Who else? Come on, what else would you do if you knew it? If they told you right now, hey, listen, I want you to know that you got 10 days because the Muslims have set a bomb in every city in America and it's going to go off here in 10 days, a direct download from the Lord. What would you do?
I tell my family my house is on fire. Their house is on fire.
Come on, somebody. What would you do? How about this? Let me make it easier. Would you continue to do the same stupid shit you're doing now? Pardon my French. Huh? Would you? Would you sit around? Would you do that? Daniel, come on in.
I would do the only things that I won't be able to do when I get to heaven. That would be share my faith and fight evil.
It makes sense, doesn't it? Huh? Wouldn't you warn the wicked? Wouldn't you warn it? Wouldn't you be standing on the street corner with a sign? Wouldn't you? I mean, really? Or wait a minute. You not love your neighbor. You don't love your neighbor as yourself. And so we get these prophecy guys. Look, I don't know if they're right or wrong. I don't care. I can read the Bible. I can read the Bible. I'm going to play this clip for you. And I want you to ask yourself something. The clip I'm about to play, does it paralyze your faith or does it inspire you to get involved? Okay, because we're hearing this. Some of you ain't going to like it. Some of you ain't going to like this. You ain't going to like it. I'm going to give you a fair warning. You ain't going to like it. Okay? Huh? How about this one? If you think Israel's the apple of God's eye, why the hell ain't you over in Israel? Why aren't you over there pushing back against the forces of darkness that are trying to kill Israel? Why aren't you over there if you really believe it? You only got 10 days left. Why? Because you're trying to live out pre-written history that you don't even know if it's history or not. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows when this whole stuff's coming. And what if you got the 10-day warning? Would you keep doing what you're doing now? What would you do, Adam? Come on in.
Hey, Coach. From what I can tell, all the people that are running around yelling that the sky is falling and the rapture is going to happen any minute now, we should be supporting Israel, they're all doing the same thing. They're doing what's commonly referred to as self-fulfilling prophecy. They are trying to fulfill the prophecies of God instead of doing what God has called us to do.
then, Adam, huh? They're circling the wagons, aren't they? They're just circling the wagons, staying in their pulpits. So here, this is going to piss some of you off. I don't care if it does. Pull up number three. This is, folks, we're hearing this. We are hearing this in so many pulpits in America that I don't even know what to tell you. Now, look, is Israel God's chosen people? I don't know. I mean, the Bible's, they try to convince us. We know there's an argument over this, right? Pastor Lauren Livingston, ask yourself this. Is this motivating his people to get out and fight? Sit down, hold your breath, stick a sock in your mouth if you have to. Go ahead.
With all my heart, I believe that God raised this country up for two things. Number one, to preach the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus. No other nation has preached it like this nation. Number two, to protect the nation of Israel.
The clappers are geese.
They don't have any other allies. Oh, others talk it, but we do it. And this is my prayer. God, please keep leadership in Washington that understands that any nation who turns its back on Israel is doomed. For you that may not believe and you think this is all political stuff, it isn't. The Bible says, whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Whoever curses Israel will be cursed.
Hang on a minute. Freeze it.
How many of you have read it in
Scripture? Freeze it. What does he want those people sitting behind him to do? What does he want them to do? If he really believes that those who bless Israel will be blessed, then that church ought to empty and everybody ought to go work for Israel for 10 days, right? Right? Instead of being passive, sitting there like geese, honk, 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 honk. Preaching should propel you to do something. Keep going.
Scripture. And so I pray whoever the leadership is, that they will never forget that God will help us as long as we help Israel.
Freeze it.
Israel can't win.
Freeze it. How's that working for us? Are we blessed? Look around. Is America blessed? Keep going.
I'm going to go ahead and say stands that any nation who turns its back on Israel is doomed. For you that may not believe and you think this is all political stuff, it isn't. The Bible says, whoever blesses Israel will be blessed.
Hang on a minute.
Hang on.
Let me ask you something. How do the individuals sitting behind that guy bless Israel? How do they do that? When they leave church and church is over, what's their command from their pastor? To bless Israel. What the hell does that look like? From an individual
Money.
Standpoint. Go ahead.
Says Israel will be cursed. How many of you have read it in Scripture? And so I pray whoever the leadership is, that they will never forget that God will help us as long as we help Israel. Israel can't win. No matter what they do, they're damned. People point fingers at them. I heard them yesterday saying, look what Israel has done in the Middle East. They've stirred up more chaos in the Middle East. There could be a war in the Middle East because of Israel. What? Folks, Israel's been under attack since God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. The devil's been trying to destroy Israel from day one. Israel shouldn't even exist. It's so small. You look at that one little tiny nation right there on the Mediterranean Sea, surrounded by hundreds of millions of people that want them dead and destroyed, and yet they are striking fear in the hearts of all of their enemies. You better not forget, when God lays his hand on you, there's not an enemy that can destroy you.
Okay, so if there's not an enemy that can destroy Israel, why do they need us? Look, I'm making some of you nervous. I'm just asking the damn question, right? So if you're sitting in this guy's pulpit in his church when he leaves, what are you supposed to do? What is, if friends, at the end of a sermon, if there's not a challenge to the people to go do something, then it was just a lecture. It was just a lecture. And how? What would this guy here, what would he tell you? I don't know this guy. I don't know. He may be a great man of God. What was the challenge? What did he ask the people to do? How did the people go bless Israel? Can somebody explain that to me? How they do that? And we are so filled with this stuff. World's coming to an end. Huh? It's all centered around Israel. And yet he didn't get the people motivated to go do anything. Go do anything. Hey, Israel, we need to bless Israel. And here's what we need to do. Because, in my opinion, living out pre-written history. Oh, yeah. That's what I think's going on. Do I want to play that now? Okay, can I? Let me get you another one. Pull up old Phil Robertson for us here. I see you, Adam. I'll get you in a second. Phil Robertson. Here's what's going on. Sorry.
Law of Moses, 10%, you say, we're not under the law of Moses. We're under the grace of God. It's not law we're under where you pay this amount. Nope. Give as you prospered. If you're doing well in business, be generous towards your neighbor. Help them out. But to shuck out millions in order to pay for this gigantic structure, it's not about money, money coming out of your pocket. Just help a few brothers in need. Look after the poor, the downtrodden, the ones that need it. Each Christian, depending on how he feels in his heart, be generous towards your neighbor. But to suck money out of you on a regular basis, every time you look up, the plate comes by and you're putting money. Where is that in here? I don't see why they were doing that. Law of Moses, 10%, you say.
Amen. Come on in, Adam. It's so good, isn't it? This truth is so good.
Sorry, Coach, you're on one of my topics. I would ask people how has America been blessed since 1948? Because since 1948, it took about 30 years for us to legalize the murder of babies. Then 20-some-odd years later, we had the depravity that happened, that's been happening since then with homosexuality. Then we legalized gay marriage. Now we're butchering our kids on the altar of Molech, telling little boys that they can be little girls and little girls that they can be little boys. And then I see and hear all the time from people, and somebody put it in a text, that we're just a branch. We are not the replacement. Nobody says that we replaced Israel. And guess what? Israel is not the vine either. Jesus Christ is the vine. Amen. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and we can do nothing without him. We have been grafted onto the vine of Jesus Christ, not onto the vine of Israel, because the church of God is Israel. As Jew and Gentile alike, we are all made one in Christ. There's no such thing as Jew or Gentile in the kingdom of God. And anyway, that's all I got to say.
It's so clear. It's so clear to me. It's so clear to me, folks. And again, look at America. Look at America. Since, dare I say it, the creature from Jekyll Island, the creation of the Federal Reserve, and robbing of Americans. Are we better off? Can somebody tell me out there how much in debt are we? Doesn't the Bible say that the borrower is servant to the lender? I think it says that somewhere, doesn't it? That the borrower is servant to the lender. How much in debt are we in? And who are we in debt to? Who are we in debt to? And if we're being blessed, it would seem to me that we would be out of debt and everybody would be coming to us for money. But instead, we're the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. Somebody explain to me how that's a blessing. Maybe I'm missing it. But some of us are so rooted into that theology that we just had heard that guy preach. Where's the fruit? Yeah, Mel, where's the fruit of it, folks? Where is the fruit? Ask ourselves this very simple question. Is America getting better or worse? Is it getting better or worse? In my lifetime, is America getting better or worse? It's obvious to me. We're getting worse. And you know what we do? We say, well, Coach, that's the sign of the end times. Oh, yeah, Jesus is coming. Yeah, you won't go share the gospel with anybody. You won't do that. You won't let go of any of your money. Oh, my God, no, you're not going to let go of any of your money. Well, the end's coming. Money's not going to be. Oh, no. I'm going to hang on here. Just kind of in some insurance here. Maybe I'm going to need it. Maybe it's not really the end. It sickens me. I'm just honest. It just sickens me. Sickens me. That all we do is point out symptoms. And we take that symptom and say, yep, God, we can't do anything about that. It's the end time. See, we can't do anything about that. Do you know that they're teaching homosex to your children in school, Pastor? Do you know that? Yeah, but you know what? That's just a sign of the end. We're just kind of in the end. Somebody think I'm lying. Does somebody think I'm making this up? Or is this the attitude of the American church? In other words, the Bible says it'd be better for you, Pastor, to put a millstone around your neck than to allow your schools to teach homosex to your children. I paraphrased that, but wouldn't you think that's probably true? Wouldn't you think that's what Jesus would say? You mean to tell me, Pastor, you had 100 people in your congregation and you never went out to the school board and never got them to stop teaching perversion to your children? You never did that, Pastor? Well, we can't do that. Why? It's in days, in the times. Look at Israel. 2 Thessalonians, pull that up for me, Spencer. Hang on. Let me get it off my chest. Let me get it off my chest. 2 Thessalonians 2, I think it is. Yeah? Let no man deceive you by any means, verse 3. For that day will not come, except there come a falling away first. Huh? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worship. Wait a minute, who's him? Come on now. Who are we worshiping? So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, boys and girls. Scrolling down. And now you know, by the way, 2,000 years ago. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only he who now letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the way. And when he's taken out of the way, and that wicked will be revealed. And the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his, scroll down, Spencer, coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Because they received not the love of the truth. God sends them strong delusion that they begin to worship something else. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But that pleasure in righteousness. Good question. Would America be better? Just asking, just off the top of my head. You guys go someplace else if you want to go. Would America be better if we ended all sexual degeneracy, homosex, transgender, if we got rid of all that stuff, or if we blessed Israel more? Just a simple question, which is more relevant to where people live, right? If we could end homosexuality in the production of it, teaching of it to our children in local schools, would that be better than blessing Israel? I'm just asking. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't see America as blessed. That's just me. You know what we used to be? We used to be a beacon of liberty. Are we today? Beacon of liberty? Locking up guys like Stuart Rhodes and Bill Dunphy? Are we a beacon of liberty? Taking Paul Gosselin's license away from him? Are we a beacon of liberty? I guess we need to bless Israel more. What does that mean? Send more guys over there to die for him? Is that what it means? Look, if that's the key, I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm asking it a question. How many of you ever were taking care of a child, or if somebody sends your kids off to college and their money draining you, and finally you have to say to them, hey, listen, where are you spending your money? Where are you spending your money? So I'd like to ask Benjamin Netanyahu, where are you spending our money? Where are you spending our money? Not allowed to ask that, though. Why? Ted Cruz tell you, those who bless Israel, again, will be blessed. That other preacher guy, that's how we get blessed. I don't suppose God would bless us if we ended homosex education. We probably wouldn't get blessed for that one, would we? Huh? We probably wouldn't get blessed if we got rid of the dadgum Federal Reserve and the taxation system, property. We probably wouldn't be blessed if that one. That wouldn't bless us. We got to bless Israel. How freaking stupid are we? Programmed. Don't you dare call me an anti-Semite. Stop it. I showed you last week that Semite is a language. It's not a people. Sorry. You can believe it if you want to, because Timmy Two Shoes, your pastor, told you that. He told you that. You didn't do any research on your own. No. And so we see all this stuff's coming. Oh, they're teaching transgenderism to our kids and children. Oh, it's the end days. Oh, yeah, have you pulled your kids out of school? Oh, no, I can't afford to pull them out of school. So you got them in school, and they're teaching them that crap, huh? And you're saying it's because it's the end of days? What the hell's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Your roof's leaky. Do you patch it? You move on to get another house? We see the roof leaking. We think it's a good thing. Good news. It's good news. Things are getting worse. Oh, that's great news. I'm far, folks, I don't see that. I don't see that in the gospel. Sorry. Come on in, Mary Beth.
Couple things. I was going to put my, I was afraid to put my kids in Christian school years ago because I didn't have the money. So,
right?
Mary
Beth, they do that to you on purpose. You understand that? They make
right.
you broke.
Where so they should be giving us the money to put our kids where, we should be able to put them where we want with our tax dollars. So, there were these guys on Oprah. We had a small Christian school and five families, they were giving money away to private schools. Five of the families of that little school got that grant. I mean, if that isn't God, I don't know what is, but that's not what I wanted to say. I wanted to say to Adam that 30-minute thing that you sent. I texted my pastor to watch it and he said, well, I'm working. And I said, and I've asked him to respond to me, have you watched it? Anyway, he said that he's working. I said, it's on the job training. It's literally on the job training when you watch that video. But anyway, so I don't know if he's watched it yet.
He didn't want to watch it. Pull up number two real quick. Pull up number two, Spencer. How to destroy the West. Ask me if this has been going on while we've been blessing Israel. How to destroy the West? Convince women to hate men. Somebody put a check mark. Convince men to hate themselves. Somebody put a check mark. Convince minorities to hate whites. Somebody put a check mark. Convince whites to hate themselves. Somebody put a check mark. Convince the young to be LGBTQIA, WRSD, check. Convince the old that they are backward, check. It only takes a generation if it's done correctly. And they've done it. And they've done it. Well, we've been worried about Israel. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, to follow up on Adam's train of thought, early 1944, before all this started, we were kicking out an entire Liberty ship every week and a B-17 airplane an hour, every hour. Today, Bath Iron Works is on strike. Welcome to the world.
Yeah, and we can't get them to open the airports, right? We can't get them to open the airport. What a time, man. In the church, in my opinion, the church is focusing on all the wrong things. Do you think, okay, I heard that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bible says this. Be better for you. If I could find it, Spencer, I can't remember where it is. Be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead even one of these little ones who believe in me. Matthew 18:6. Thanks, Spencer. He's all over today. I'm going to send you $2. There it is. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me. Talking about little children in schools. It'd be better for him, who? The person who offends and teaches these things to little ones. It would be better for that person that a millstone were hanged around his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, here's Coach Day's perspective. I'd rather spend a lot more time and money and effort cleaning up what we're teaching to our children than defending Israel. Somebody think of something wrong with me?
Amen, Coach.
They're eating our children right in front of us. And Jesus said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw in the depth of the sea than to not support Israel. Is that what it says? Oh, my goodness, Lord, help me out. Hey, folks, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to heaven through bloodline. He said that. And they're teaching your little children, your little grandchildren, what I just put up there. They're teaching that to your little grandchildren. And our pastors are preaching about Israel. Hey, if you're going to leave, if you don't like one, then go ahead and leave. I don't care. I frankly don't care. What's going on in Israel ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in Hebron, Ohio. I can tell you that. You say, oh, yeah, Coach, they're all connected because Jesus, God isn't blessing us anymore. Come on. Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, Coach, it's actually a pretty easy answer. If I'm going to bless Israel, I'll tell them repent. Fall on your knees and receive Jesus Christ. That's how I'm
pretty
going to bless
him. Pretty simple.
You know how I'm going to curse him? I'm going to tell him you're still God's chosen people living in all your sin.
So
that's the great falling. The great falling away or experiences you just showed the pastor in the pulpit there. That's the great falling away.
Amen.
And that's the same thing we're doing in the church. We're trying to tell the sinner God still loves them in their sin. We're still trying to tell Israel that God still loves them in their sin. We're cursing both the people that come in the church, and we're cursing Israel. And so, again, people don't understand the deception, how the United States has attacked Iran through other countries, especially Iraq, for last 40, 50 years because they won't capitulate to the central bank. And they still control oil. A guy was saying that we gave nerve gas to Iran. They shot in we gave nerve gas to Iraq that we shot into Iran and killed over 300,000 people. But we don't want to see that. And then we wonder why they retaliate against us. You know, so, Coach, the deception is off the charts.
It's off the charts. Folks, they are lying to us from our pulpits. Sorry. Lying to you from your pulpit. Bring up number 13 real quick, since Dave mentioned the bankers. Pull that up. Go ahead.
Abraham Lincoln printed millions in government-issued notes, bypassing European banks to fund the Civil War. 5 days after the war ended, he went to Ford's Theater. President McKinley supported the gold standard, while others favored a central bank with a flexible currency. It wasn't long before an anarchist was let into his rally. Three business titans allegedly opposed the creation of an American central bank. They all took an unsinkable ship owned by J.P. Morgan. He was supposed to go with them, but canceled last minute. That ship was called the Titanic, and the Federal Reserve was founded the next year. Senator Huey Long rallied against the Fed and tried to cap America's wealth. He was shot inside Louisiana's capital. His gunman was killed instantly, with no autopsy, lost evidence, and conflicting ballistics. Congressman Lewis McFadden accused the Federal Reserve of high treason for causing the Great Depression. He collapsed after a banquet. The official story? Heart attack.
JFK signed an executive order giving the Treasury power to issue silver certificates and bypass Fed-issued notes. You know how this ends. Congressman Larry McDonald, a fierce critic of all global banking elites, boarded Korean Airlines Flight 007. The plane accidentally veered into Soviet airspace. All 269 souls died, and Moscow held the black boxes for a decade before releasing edited data. Thomas Sankara, president of Burkina Faso, rejected IMF and World Bank loans. Shortly after, he was assassinated in a coup. His successor immediately took the loans. By the year 2001, very few countries didn't have Western-controlled central banks. Afghanistan and Iraq were two of them. All they needed was an excuse. The ruler of Libya, Gaddafi, proposed a gold-backed African dinar to replace the dollar for oil. NATO intervened in Libya's civil war, and Gaddafi was killed. Libya got a new central bank.
Let me ask you this. I'm looking in the chat. Coach, I want to talk about end times. What the hell are you talking about? That's what I'm talking about. If you believe it's end times, you wouldn't be sitting on your ass. That's my point. End times. End times. End times could come for me. I could have a heart attack tomorrow. End times. End times. Work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. And you tell me this, is your pastor taking you out to work while the sun shines? Or is he preaching to you over and over, it's the end, sit back, there's a rapture coming? Somebody help me out here. Who hadn't been in here yet? Johnny, come on in.
Morning, Coach. I just keep thinking about God being the true vine. And how we are the branches.
Yep.
And as long as we abide in that and believe in it, nothing's going to be able to penetrate that because we're connected to him directly. It's a personal relationship. We make the decision. We make the choice. All that Israel stuff, let it be what it is. All it is being tangled in the weeds. As long as the world around us is going to be continuing to chip away at the foundation of the vine, trying to destroy who God is and what he stands for. You and I, we're not doing that. We're tending the garden. We're tending the roots. We're making sure that the vine stays strong where God wants it. We're his workers. We're his hands and feet. We're the ones that are planting the seed. And for me, and he says it in my family, I'll continue to serve the Lord, and that's what everybody in this queue is doing, I pray.
Thank you. Johnny, I get up every day, and I'm motivated by those little arrows that the Lord has given us, our grandchildren. Every day, I'm motivated by them. I never think of Israel. Sorry, I never think of Israel. I sat down last night, our little grandson, David, I don't know how old he is, 10, 11 years old, and I sat down with him, and he began to explain to me out of this little Bible, that this little children's Bible that he has that we read. He was explaining to me the Exodus and why they had to leave, and I'm sitting there. I'm in freaking amazement thinking, you know what? There ain't nobody in the queue that knows this. Ain't nobody in the queue that can articulate what that little 10-year-old boy can articulate. Shame on us. Shame on us. Programmed by some 6-foot icicle standing in the pulpit who won't do anything, get outside the church and impact the culture. I'm sorry. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Nobody puts a basket over a church and hides inside the church. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Instead, we go inside the church and we preach about it. It's the end times. Hunker down. We'll be out of here soon. Never seen anything like it in my life. Ever. Ever. Come on in, Jack.
Okay, as usual, the words are correct, but the emphasis is on the wrong syllable, right? Every time. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. My sister and brother-in-law drive me nuts with the Israel thing. They do with all the Hebrew things, all the holidays, the Sabbath, and all that stuff. But you know what? Every year, They spend 2 to 3 months in Israel on their own dime, walking people through a replica of the tabernacle from Genesis to Christ. Okay? So I don't say a word. I don't get on their case about the Israel thing, because they go there and they lead people to Christ with the tabernacle on their own dime every year.
Yep. Jack, isn't there anybody in your hometown needs led to the Lord?
Yes, but that's what their mission is. It's okay. It's okay. And they're doing that also. He pastors the church too. So it's pretty interesting. It's a conundrum sometimes, but he's doing it. He believes that the people need to be brought to Christ, and they lead them through the tabernacle. Thousands of people go through that mock-up tabernacle every year.
And they
Jack, at least he's doing what he says he believes.
That's exactly right. That's why I keep my mouth shut most of the time.
And they're always out in the community doing.
And they're always doing something. Yep.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Huh? Amen. Amen. Oh, man, this is so good. Let's get Dale in here real quick. You want to smack me, Dale?
Why would I smack you?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
So, Coach, there's a happy medium. There's a lot of things that I think Israel has a right to be a nation, as well as America has a right to be a nation. Do I think that their government is corrupt? Yup. Do I think our government is corrupt for the most part? Yup. Yep. Now, it's the same thing that I see, kind of comparing apples to apples. When we love our neighbor more than we love God. In other words, don't judge, because then you're not demonstrating what love looks like. But when Jesus was questioned by the lawyers, the Pharisees of the day, and he says, "Good teacher, what is the greatest law?" And Jesus said that thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. This is the greatest commandment. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor. What I don't see, Coach, this is not to slam against anybody or a country. I don't see where it says you are to love Israel more than you love God.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? We have made an idol out of that thing. Yeah. Listen, I have no problem. Look, Israel's surrounded by its enemies. I don't have a problem with us protecting that interest there, no more than I don't have a problem with us protecting the interests in South America or Greenland and those types of things. But when I want to disregard everything and I want to put Israel as an idol where my blessings come from, then I've put it before loving the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. And last thing, Coach, I saw this the other day. I should have grabbed it and sent it to you, but because I don't want it to be the ammunition that we hate Israel. But Benjamin Netanyahu came out and compared Jesus Christ to, I don't know, Gandhi or whatever. He says he's no more of a greater factor than Gandhi. That right there, brother, let me tell you what, that right there was like sour grapes in my mouth. Of course, I'm not a fan of Benjamin Netanyahu, but we cannot idolize Israel. God is first. And loving our neighbors is second, not Israel.
Hey, Spencer, go give you $10 tip. I will. I want you to find out right now where Benjamin Netanyahu said that about Jesus, that Jesus is no different than any other. Anyway, find it so we can play it so they don't think we're lying here. Okay?
Hey, Coach, can I follow up on Dale?
Go ahead.
Yes.
I put it in the queue already, but give Spencer $10 anyway.
I will. I promise.
Yeah,
I will.
Coach. You know that they did this in the after show the other day. They got a tally how much you owe Spencer.
Okay, here we go. Pulled up there. First one. Netanyahu says Jesus Christ has no advantage over Genghis Khan. Hang on.
Well, history proves that, unfortunately, and unhappily, Jesus Christ has no advantage over Genghis Khan. Because if you are strong enough, ruthless enough, powerful enough, evil will overcome good. Aggression will overcome moderation. So you have no choice. If you look at the world as it is today, you have to be blind not to see that the democracies led by the United States have to reassert their will to defend themselves and to oppose their enemies in time, while there's still time, before the jarring gong of danger wakes them up, and wakes them up too late. This is where we are now.
Mm. Folks, he ain't a believer in the Messiah. Adam.
Hey, Coach, have you ever heard of newspaper exegesis?
No, I'd be good, though.
That's what, in my mind, the Zionist and preacher and rapturist and dispensational people do. They try to interpret the Bible and talk about all the fulfilled prophecies in the Bible from the newspaper instead of allowing the Bible to interpret itself. So they use the newspaper as their gauge for God's word instead of using God's word as the gauge for God's word.
But Adam, here's my point. Here's the point I'm trying to make today. I don't know how many of you are mad. I mean, sorry if you are. We're to expand the kingdom. We're not to sit here and surrender a kingdom. Go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. That's what we're supposed to do. And we are not doing it. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And instead, they have convinced us to surrender to evil. Jesus loses, but we win in the end because we get out of here before judgment hits. That, what a theology. What a theology. Lorianne.
Thanks for bringing this up, Coach, because this whole thing is ridiculous. It's all about Jews against Gentiles, and it's because now that we're in the line, the bloodline of the line of Judah, where Jesus is all from. I mean, they literally call us goyim. They're killing innocent children, and wiping them out and saying it's good, and saying it's good. And then we're also supporting their health care and their military and their, and if I don't know where the clip is, and if I can find it, I'll send it, or if somebody else can find it. But somebody in Congress literally stated that 1,000 of Israeli soldiers is worth 20,000 of our military. So we're supposed to send over our kids over there to die for Israel?
So I know this. I know this. This will be the end of Trump if he sends troops over there. Americans do not want to defend Israel, folks. Americans do not want to go back into that Gulf War. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. And you know, hey, pull up Paula White. You know who's telling Trump to do it? Pull that up, Spencer. See if you can. Oh, where is that on Facebook? Is that on my Facebook page? Paula White. Oh, my Lord, God help us. Who has the president's ear? Huh? Who has the president's? It's probably not on there. It's not on there. Paula White speaking in tongues, prophesying. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry. Hey, folks, look, I'm sorry if this is shaking your theology. Ask yourself this. Is America blessed or cursed? Ask yourself. Jack, you're still there. Good, Jack.
I'm still here. On the way Dale, what Dale was saying is so interesting. See, the idolatry thing, we have a built-in need for a leader, okay? And remember when the people wanted a king, they wanted Saul. And so God gave him Saul as a king.
Give us Barabbas, they said. Give us Barabbas.
Yeah, give us Barabbas, whatever. Yeah, we're always looking for a king. And I think this may sound a little strange, but I think the Christian church figured out that they can satisfy their idolatry by idolizing the Israeli government and get away with it because it's politically correct. See, I think that satisfies the idol worship mentality, or I want a king mentality. That's a little strange, but I think that's what's going on.
Amen. Amen. I'm making enemies this morning. I'm not trying. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Spencer, I'm going to send you something right now. You guys got to see this. You got to see this. Let me see. Let's go right here. Spend this to Jared. By the way, charismatic. Somebody charismatic means they speak in tongues, right? A lot of Christians are charismatic. It's all good. It's all good. Folks, Okay, Spencer, there you go. This is who is advising the President of the United States. I'm not making fun of charismania. I'm not making fun of speaking in tongues. I'm not making fun of the spiritual realm. I'm not making fun of any of that stuff, okay? But have you guys seen this? This is the pastor to President Trump. President Trump, a non-believer, okay? A non-believer, real probably. He doesn't know what it means to be a Christian. Okay, this is Paula White. Go ahead.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Hamanda ata ata rakate de baka sanda ata ambo osa kata rite eke banda ata rite didi asha. For angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here. In the name of Jesus, from South America. They're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. From Africa. From South America. Angelic forces. Angelic reinforcement. Angelic reinforcement. Angelic reinforcement. Fika hata anda ata ora bata rata anda eke eke manda rasata. For I hear the sound of victory. 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 We break and divide every demonic confederacy against the election, against America, against that who you have declared to be in the White House. We break it up in the name of Jesus. We lose confusion into every demonic confederacy directed right now at this election, directed specifically at the six states. We come against people that are working in high levels right now with demonic confederacies and secrecies and demonic plans and networks. We break it up and we command that it be exposed right now in the name of Jesus.
So that's his advisor. That's his advisor, folks. That's his advisor. You say Donald Trump's not a Christian. Well, that's his advisor. That's his advisor. Joe Allen, come on in. Hey, listen, God bless Charismania. God bless him. Praying in tongues. I believe in him. I believe in it. I believe in it. That ain't it. That ain't it. That's a chant. That was like a witch's chant. Does anybody think I'm crazy? Come on in, Joe.
So I want you to think of your children, what I'm about to say. Military now, as when you're going to be scripted into the service.
Yeah. 40-year-olds. 40-year-olds.
42 years old now. Yeah. It used to be 38 or 36. Now it's 42. So don't think that we're not going to be in a long-term war here.
So, Joseph, let me ask you, Joseph, is this blessings that we're getting then? Would this be blessings that we have to get more troops to go over there and die? That would be because we're blessing. Are we being blessed for that? I guess maybe I'm missing something here. Sending more guys over there to die, that's a blessing? I guess I'm missing it. Jeff Klein.
I see an apostate. I see an apostate. I see an apostate.
Hey, folks, sorry. This is Trump's advisor. Vinny.
I believe Paula White and J. Patrick are the ones who removed Carrie Prejean Bowler from that position that Trump assigned her to.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting to know. Do you guys know who he's talking about? I ought to be able to pull that up there somewhere. I can't. She got Carrie Prejean is her name, right? Carrie Prejean booted off the president's prayer team by Paula White. If you haven't seen that video of Carrie Prejean, It's powerful, man. It's powerful. Booted off by Paula White. And she tried to get to the president to find out why. And of course, she can't get to the president. Adam, quickly, we got 6 minutes left here.
Sorry to talk so much. Dale put a good point up on the chat that I never even knew before, that Paula White divorced her husband because she was cheating on him with somebody else. So that ought to tell you everything you need to know about her.
Well, listen, here's me, okay? Listen, I believe in redemption, okay? I believe in redemption. And even though she did something in the past, if she's confessed it as a sin, okay, I get it. If she's moved beyond it, if she's been restored, I'm a man saved by grace. And who am I to tell somebody else that they can't be under grace? But I'll tell you this, if that happened while she was in leadership and nothing was done, and I believe in grace.
Well, Coach, I'm going to jump in. That's because I know the history of that is that, yes, she was. She was. She was in leadership. And the fact of the matter, look, I fully agree with the redemption part of it. The fruit of the repentance is that she never stepped down. She never stepped back to be ministered and healed and counseled through any of that. She defended her positioning. So, no, I can't agree with her.
There should be consequences to sin, should there not, Dale? Be consequences.
Well, yeah, Coach. Listen, I fully agree with that. So, you know, putting a little in this to understand the whole history is the fact that she didn't step down, she didn't step away, and she just kept marching forward. It's another. Remember Todd? What was the Todd? Whatever the guy we went to South Carolina. Same thing, right? There was no stepping down, stepping away. He wanted to keep going around the nation, kicking people in the belly, thinking that he was a mouthpiece for God.
Yeah, wanted to apologize to everybody and act like it never happened and moved on. That's the way I see it. Hey, folks, can I say something? It's been pretty edgy today, isn't it? Pretty edgy. But I'm going to tell you what we've been believing and what they've been teaching us. Folks, there's a lot of falsehood in that. What's the theme at Coach Dave Live? Oh, I remember now. Who told you that? And why should I believe it? Right? And so Donald Trump is being ministered to by Paula White, a woman, nothing against women. But from what I understand, they're not supposed to be an authority. They're not supposed to. Paula White, the spiritual advisor to the President of the United States. Anybody see something wrong there other than me? Come on in, Randy.
Good job, Coach. Excellent show. This is the first day in 2 weeks I felt like being a living. Coach, I could do a 10-minute teaching in Romans, mostly Romans, in about five verses, and I could debunk all of the Israel people who think that's Israel and show you who is Israel. And it'd be over. I mean, just to be a matter of you changing your mind and getting on the right road, you know, for all the people who want to stay on the dispensational bubble. But that's where it's coming to, Coach. You're just ahead of the game here, but everyone's going to have to deal with this issue. It's not going away. And you're just trying your grace and your mercy, Coach, is what's motivating you to even talk about this. Most of these people
it'd be easier
don't
for
have
me
the
just
stones to even mention it, Coach.
I could build a bigger audience, Randy, if I didn't talk about this stuff.
Coach, it ain't about quantity, it's quality, and you know that. And that's why you're
not afraid to say it. Let me get Mark Trump in here a second, because Mark, I was gonna call you. I was gonna do part of our show today is on TechNate. You guys know what TechNate is? It's the advancement of technology that's taking over the world, and it is demonic, and it's happening. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I agree with that. Let's have a separate discussion. But I was going to tie a couple things together. I like what someone said, where we crave a leader in the flesh. We seek one. We have an earthly father. We come out from under him at puberty or whatever. And we, from them, that point on, even though we may be saved and know God, people still seek out those leaders.
Yep.
Trump sought out a female leader. Okay, so a Jezebel spirit. Now, this is a Semiramis. Remember, they exiled Cush and Semiramis took over the government and married Nimrod. Okay, so this is the same pattern, oddly enough, with him. I don't know, Coach. I think y'all stumbled on something pretty spiritual there.
I do, too. I do, too, folks. I do, too. Can I tell you that? I got to close it off here. Look to me. I get up every day, try to advance the kingdom of God for the sake of my children and my grandchildren. And I'm telling you, no matter what you've been taught, you have been taught lies. We have been taught lies, mistruths, not on purpose, but a fool teaches another man's foolishness. And that's what I think is going on. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.